Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And so we go. 4:02 is the time. Gwen and Chris, Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Tony having to get back to work and get ready for the broadcast tonight, but had some parting words for me off the air there, Scrabe.
Oh, yeah?
Not happy that I stole the J-E-T-S Jets from him in the pick'em game.
No one ever said that before. No one's ever
That's
been
the first
angry
time anybody's
that.
Really been upset that the other guy picked the Jets. Yeah, yeah. That was a new one.
Yeah, it is a new one.
Yeah, we'll see how things turn out this weekend. There is one, you know, marquee matchup, let's say that, this weekend, Sunday, which we didn't pick, but Eagles-Chiefs rematch of the Super Bowl. So... That is going on in Kansas City. And the, I think the refs are on notice.
Oh,
they didn't do enough to let the Chiefs win last week. They got to pick up their game.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're going to be wearing red when they go out there, red and yellow. They're going to look like Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, Ronald McDonald. They're going to have to do a little better because the Eagles are a good team. I mean, the refs are going to have to work a little extra hard to make sure the Chiefs win that one.
Yeah.
All right, we got callers, we got game time, we got prizes. It's Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy-do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get into it, were you putting your hand up? Oh, sorry. Before we get into it, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Adams Avenue Street Fair, September 20th and 21st. San Diego Foundation presents the Adams Avenue Street Fair on September 20th and 21st, the free family-friendly festival. Oh, my goodness. The free family-friendly festival. I got through that pretty good.
Who's the pitcher for the Yankees tonight?
Schlittler.
Very good. See, you're on a roll. We're nailing it today.
The free family-friendly festival in Normal Heights features 75 musical acts, carnival rides, beer gardens, festival foods, and 300 unique exhibitors. But what we're playing for today is a qualification for a chance to win the grand prize, a trip to see the Eagles at Sphere Las Vegas, including two tickets to the show on January 30th, a two-night stay at the Venetian Resort Las Vegas, a Vibe VIP package, and a $100 gas card. The Eagles have added 2026 shows to the residency at Sphere in Las Vegas on January 23rd, 24th, January 30th, and 31st. The residency now features a total of 48 shows from Friday, September 20th, of last year through Saturday. I don't even know. Anyway, Saturday, January 31st, 2026. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Now, the rules. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get the question wrong and Chris gets it right, you are eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win. If you are a first-time player.
Thought I'd mix it up a little bit.
Let us know before you get into the first question.
Went with a lower.
You are what is that? The alto or something?
I just want to see if I can answer a question today. I mean the fans have been just knocking it out of the park lately. So let's see.
They have, I've been okay with it.
I know. I don't think a fan has missed a question this week.
It's been pretty good on the fan side. I gotta say.
Yeah,
I gotta say.
Nice.
All right, let's go to our first contestant, Doug. Hello, Doug.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey,
pretty good.
Doug.
You ready to play, Doug?
Thanks for being with us.
Let's do it.
All right, here we go.
Let's go.
What city is the U.S. Open of Tennis located in?
Doug's not a tennis guy.
Not
a tennis guy.
Give me a big city.
Los Angeles.
Stay there.
I mean, Flushing, New York is not that big of a city. New York. I think it is officially in Flushing.
It is in Flushing. Yeah. Do you remember when we took the subway out to Citi Field and I go, wait, is that the tennis stadium? I had no idea.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry
Thanks,
about Doug. That,
Doug.
There you go. You got the answer, Chris.
I got one, yeah. Brush up on your tennis there, Doug. Come on. You guys should know that one.
Someone
you don't
said,
have to be a big tennis fan, you know, to kind of have an idea.
Someone said it's in Chula Vista.
Chula Vista. All right.
All right. Let's go to our next contestant, Chase. Hello, Chase.
Hey, Chase.
Hello, Chase. What's going on, Chase?
Is your radio on?
Yeah, turn the radio down there,
sir. Is your
radio
on?
Yeah,
turn the...
Yeah,
okay, I'm going to put it down for a second, and then we're going to come back.
All right, I'm here.
All right, Chase, here we go. You ready to play?
Rookie mistake, by the way, Chase.
I am ready to play.
Okay. All right. Question number one. Doug's going to probably want this question. What is the official duration of one quarter of NFL football?
15 minutes.
15 minutes is correct. Nice job. Okay. All right, let's go to question number dos, numero dos. I hope I didn't ask this week, but name the two other teams Luis Arraez has played for other than the Padres.
And won a batting title for both
for
teams.
For both of them, yes.
Yeah.
The Twins and the Marlins.
Hey, he's on it.
That is correct.
All right, Chase.
Nice job, Chase.
Rolling along nicely.
All right, here we go. Question number three. You get this right or Chris gets it wrong.
I think question number three should be, what team is Luis Arraez going to play on next year? I don't think too many people think he's going to be a Padre next year.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's going to be a huge
off-season
topic.
Right, that's later on.
All right, here we go. Question number three.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you watched your football. Five NFL quarterbacks threw two interceptions over the weekend. Name three of the five.
Two INTs, you say, huh?
Yes. No one threw three.
Well, that's because one of them didn't play in the fourth quarter. He would have.
CJ Stroud.
Went with Stroud, okay.
You can also pass and put the pressure on Chris if you want to.
Try that.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Okay. All right. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, because after Tua, I don't know anybody. Tua is definitely one. I don't remember if Stroud did or not. Two INTs. How many guesses do I get? Just three? Three guesses, and I got to get them all right. I'll try. I can't even remember an interception. I had one.
The Bears guy.
I know. I'm struggling here. I'll just try.
Need an answer.
Okay. Russell Wilson and Bryce Young.
And Tua.
No.
Wow.
Chase is a winner.
Stay right there. Man, the contestants have been pretty good outside. I mean, that was...
I know.
They passed, which was a good move for them.
Did I get any of those?
You got two.
Oh, really? Tua and...
You got two. And first one's Tua. Second one, Bryce Young. I can't believe you didn't jump all over this because you love to make me sweat about my team. Brock Purdy threw two.
Oh, did he? I didn't even know.
Joe Flacco threw two.
Uh-huh. Flacco.
And then Bo Nix.
Bo Nix, I should have got because I saw him do that.
We literally talked about it earlier.
All right.
Anyway.
Good for you, Chase. You're stay on the line there. The Spring Valley kid, Chase, wins the collocation.
I'm sorry? The collocation?
Yeah, you got it. He's got a shot at it. And we'll see if he wins the drawing at the end. But... for now, we have a little break to get to. We got a big five at the bottom of the hour. We are a little more than an hour away from Sam Levitt and the pregame show. And should I jinx it or not?
No,
Scrape?
Don't jinx anything.
Tomorrow's
he's going to do it anyway.
Tomorrow's guest for the Friar Friday could be really cool.
Yeah, we got one of two
options. Did I jinx
that? No.
Is that a jinx?
No, that's not a jinx, because we have been told we are going to get one of two people, and both people have not been on the show, so I'm very excited.
Okay. Well, we'll tell you who that is when we know. In the meantime, More Gwen and Chris around the corner.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Marcello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, 418, Gwynn and Chris. We love Mediterranean food. Spiro's authentic Mediterranean cuisine. It's in Coronado, La Jolla, also right there at Petco Park. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. Padres, Rockies. Padres always seem to have a rocky time with the Rockies, except for earlier this year when Colorado visited and did not score in three games. Something similar would be nice in this four-game series. The Padres need it. They are they're scuffling, to say the least, Grabe. 5-11 in the last 16 games. And more surprising and maybe even alarming than that, 1-6 at home, where they completely dominated for the most part all year long. Hasn't been happening of late because somebody always hits a home run off them in the first inning.
Not yesterday. I was watching that score. And
didn't you think it was close? Did you see the fly ball, though? Marte, the second hitter, hit one right
okay,
to the fence.
Here's the thing.
You weren't quite home yet?
No. I went to the game, and so I was in transit down there. It was very difficult to get down there yesterday.
I get you. No, he almost hit it out on the second batter, and I'm like, well, that's what else is new?
Yeah.
Anyway.
I didn't realize that, but
yeah, it was close.
When I checked the score, I was like, thankfully he didn't give up
a run. Right. Speaking of Pivetta, pitched yesterday. I think he deserves a little more love in the NL Cy Young race.
I do too.
I'm looking at the experts kind of summing up some of these postseason award lists, and looking at the NL. Cy Young. Basically, the award, whoever has the award and needs to engrave it, can just start now. I mean, everyone thinks Paul Skene's going to win it unanimously.
He deserves it.
Like, there's nowhere, anywhere going to be near him.
So, you don't think he deserves it?
Yeah, begrudgingly. I got to give it to him. I mean, he pitches 5 or 6. That's the only thing that I don't, I can't get 100% behind that yet. I know I'm man on the lawn thing, but to me, to win the Cy Young, I mean, Blake Snell didn't do it either. But I'd like to see guy, pitch at least one complete game the whole year. I'm not trying to be unreasonable here. But
guy's got 203 strikeouts, 1.92 ERA. He didn't give up a run last night, and they lost again.
Yeah, his record is
10-9.
Pedestrianly 10-9. When you look at his innings pitched, he's gone over 6, 3, 4, 5 times. Blake Snell, you remember, only went over 6 innings once the year he won the Cy Young.
His pitch count was so high.
Well, I'm just saying, I know I'm from a different era, but I Cy Young winners pitch into the 8th inning and,
not anymore.
But no, you're right.
He went 5 yesterday, he went 6 and then 6 and then 7 and then 6. He got touched up against Milwaukee, went 4 and then 6, 5, 6, 6. I mean, he's just been awesome.
Gave up 4 runs to the Rockies earlier this year.
He did.
As a warning, just a fire out there.
He went 5 innings. Yeah, he did. He gave up 5 hits and 4 runs, struck out 8.
American League Cy Young, I don't know that I have Scooble here. He's being touted by most.
Crochet's been pretty good.
Crochet's been right there. I think the two of them can battle that out. And I'm going to let them battle it out because I don't follow the American League, closely enough. Back to the National League. Who's second behind Skene's? Do you have to give it to Sanchez, the Phillies pitcher? Zach Wheeler, I think, was there but now hurt. Freddy Peralta's got 16 wins. Yamamoto, the Dodgers. Suarez of the Phillies. Ranger Suarez has been good.
I really think Nick Pivetta, although I don't know that he should be second, I think that he needs to be talked about.
I'd like
about.
To see him get a vote or two.
Yeah, me too. I think he deserves it. He's pitched really well this year. His best year of his career.
By a mile.
And he's not even being mentioned.
No. American League MVP, American League Rookie of the Year. Who do you think that is? And we don't follow this so close, the American League. I can hardly name a rookie. But the one guy I do know is your guy, Nick Kurtz, Athletics.
Oh,
four
yeah.
homer game. He's like they're pretty much engraving the trophy for him as well.
Jacob Wilson was in the lead for a little bit there. And same
Roman
team.
Anthony's kind of on
now,
the scene.
So.
I think that's going to be Nick Kurtz. National League Rookie of the Year, it seems to be down to two guys. If you want to go for a pitcher, Cade Horton of the Cubs. And I, you know, we may see this guy in the postseason. But you look up Cade Horton of the Cubs, he's hardly given up a run like the whole year. He's been almost Paul Skeens-ish, although, you know, he doesn't have the same fanfare. Cade Horton of the Cubs has been great.
Yeah, he's 10-4, 2.70 ERA.
But look
ERA.
At his, like, innings, you know, six innings, no runs, 5 innings, 1 run.
His last know. 5 starts, he's given up 1 earned run, 0-2-0-1. And he's pitched 6 1/3, 5-5,
he's
6.
Been good.
And then for some reason, he went 2 2/3, but he only gave up 1 run. They took him out of the game.
Might have been hurt or maybe making a rehab start. The other guy, though, that you could go for is this guy for the Brewers, Isaac Collins.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Had a fantastic year. And, of course, to the surprise of no one, Isaac Collins was Rockies' property. They drafted him. They didn't think he was very good. They cut him loose.
Maybe it was the organization.
Maybe. Yeah. It's just that's what bad teams do, right? They get players like Isaac Collins and they just get rid of him. Manager of the Year, American League. I think AJ Hinch is going to get it for the Tigers. But Bochy's starting to creep up a little bit as the Rangers have been creeping up. So we'll see.
Can you be manager of the year if you were terrible 3/4 of the year and then you made a hot run at the end?
I don't know. If you're Bochy, maybe you can.
Maybe, yeah.
Mike Schilt, I think, won a manager of the year getting hot at the end for the
but
Cardinals.
But they also won like 18 games in a row.
Well, let's see him do it again. He's got how many left do we have now? 16, 15? Let's go.
Someone, Forge Dowell in the chat says, whatever happened to this easy schedule in September?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Didn't work out, did it?
I don't know. we were talking about it like they have to take care of business. They will take care of business.
No, he's right. I mean, that's why you don't do that schedule thing. Pat Murphy is the National League Manager of the Year, though.
Yeah.
Regardless. I know it's kind of dull, but the Brewers are the best team, and they weren't supposed to be. And that leaves MVP. National League, it doesn't even need a discussion. Ohtani's going to win it in a landslide.
Yeah.
And he better win it in a landslide because the only guy that's really getting a lot of mention is Juan Soto. And I don't want to see that guy be MVP. It'd drive me crazy. Crow Armstrong was there the first half, and then the second
off.
Half just fell completely
Remember
off.
When I said, oh, this is Pete Crow Armstrong, and then he had this great run, but he's back to being Pete Crow Armstrong.
No, he hasn't done anything. The American League, I think, is the most interesting one because it's two guys, Judge or Dumper. And I just think you got to go with a guy that catches.
I do, too.
And you're going to break the switch hit home run record. He's got the record already for most ever by a catcher. Aaron Judge is doing Aaron Judge things.
He but just moved
Cal
into
Raleigh's
fifth.
Cal Raleigh's doing it just a whole nother thing that no catcher's ever done. That's why I think he's got to get the award.
Like but 3 minutes ago, Aaron Judge just moved into fifth all-time on the Yankees home run list. He's one shy of tying Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah. You know, Joe DiMaggio, one of my favorite baseball stats, 361 career home runs, 369 career strikeouts.
Mm.
Barely had more strikeouts than home runs.
That is kind of weird.
That's almost impossible to do, to have that kind of power, but never strike out.
Yeah, that is weird. I mean, I read a book about Joe DiMaggio, and I said I know his name is DiMaggio, but I like to say DiMaggio.
You like to say that, okay.
He seemed like he lived a really interesting life. He had a lot going on there when he was playing for the Yankees.
I'm trying to compare. I mean, you got Travis Kelce and Taylor
Swift
right now, okay?
Yeah.
Imagine if social media was anything close back then to what it is now. Joe DiMaggio was married to Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
How much bigger could that have been
that's
had there
big.
Been a social media world.
That's pretty crazy.
You mentioned Aaron Judge now has 361 home runs, same as Joe DiMaggio. Aaron Judge has 1,400 strikeouts.
Oh,
compared to Joe had 369.
How many? 1,400?
Well, 1,357. I rounded up, but yeah.
Oh my goodness,
1,357. DiMaggio had 369. They both have the same number of home runs. That ought to tell you how different hitting is
that
in this day and age.
That is true.
1,357. That's a ton.
That's a ton.
God, should be ineligible for MVP just based on that alone. All right. Oh, Big Five coming up. It's big, big, big today. And you're getting it right now after traffic on Gwen and Chris.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we're going to get into it here.
Right? By the way, Tony missed me yesterday on one of our intro songs. Air playing the trombone.
Oh, yeah, that was... It didn't look like the trombone, let me tell you.
It was something completely different.
That's how I took it when I looked on the screen. But yes, Chris did play the trombone, and we talked about your tickling the ivories during right. the football music. So we brought that up quite a few times
but
this week,
actually. At least they were actually playing trombone in that song.
That is true. We still, I guess, don't really know if there's piano in that music or not for you.
There my mind there is in Tony's mind. All right?
Yeah.
Some type
piano.
Of keys.
There is in Tony's mind.
I just got to do this first before we get into it, but I wish I was able to wear the clothing that Tony Gwynn Jr. does and make it look cool. Because if I were to wear a pink shirt like he's wearing today, I would look like the guy from Modern Family, the big dude.
It's actually red, but...
Oh!
I think the it's kind of like spots, as you can see through my...
It's red spots, but it does have a
and
bit
And it
of
comes
a
off as pink because of the white that's kind of mixed in.
It has a pink hue.
I like
hue.
It.
But I want to say this about Tony. In his defense, because you're kind of insinuating that he puts this clothing on and the button down and the thing and the jacket and just makes it look easy. He actually sweats. More than any guy.
I don't know. Or I sweat pretty bad.
Okay, I shouldn't say more than any guy. Almost as much as I do. Which means that he is sacrificing for his art.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So you know
yes.
that.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
sacrificing for his art to look that good. Yeah. It's there is, like a lot there is of people can wear
I
the
want,
suit and tie, and it's no big deal. But for
there
Tony,
there's nothing
it's a
I
thing.
Want to do more yeah. after the game than like speed home and
oh,
get
yeah.
in the shower.
Yeah,
like,
he's,
get
he's
out
sacrificing.
Of this stuff. Man.
Yeah.
That's why whenever I see Sammy Lev in a suit, I'm like, you have to be on fire under that suit.
No, he's not. Sammy wakes up in the morning, puts a suit on, and goes and uses the restroom.
His pajamas,
and brushes his
suit.
Teeth. Yeah. So
we did see his daily routine in that
right.
one video that
right.
one day.
Some
yes,
people,
we did.
Some people, the suit doesn't affect. Tony, it affects. So he is sacrificing for his art.
Yeah, yeah, I know
just
that
so
feeling
you know.
Of getting in the car, unbuttoning
just so
the
you
pants
know.
Just so they're not so tight anymore.
Everything.
Number five.
How about the people that come home after a long 8-hour day, you know, wherever they are with their, you know, 3-piece suit on, and walk in the door and sit down at the dinner table and eat dinner? I'm like, no way.
No
like,
shot.
I'm going to change. I'll be down in a few minutes.
Yeah.
There's
yeah,
no way I'm sitting there eating dinner with my suit still on. If you do that, out me, there, send
knowing
me,
that's
going
to turn into dry cleaning anyway because I'm going to spill something on that.
That's another problem.
That's a good point.
That's the other problem.
There's many different areas.
See, actually,
that we
your
can go
wife
down.
Would make you go change because she knows that something could happen on this spilling.
Well, she wouldn't want to spend the money on the dry cleaning,
right.
So she'd be like, "Hey, go change.
Yeah, go change."
All right.
Is the big 5 over yet?
Yep. That's it. Coming up next, we're getting you set. No, number 5 is Manny Machado. He's been in the starting lineup for all 146 of the Padres games this year, including the past 21 at third, and is not admittedly saying he's on fumes, but he's leading us to believe he's on fumes. When asked about getting some rest before the playoffs, Manny said, quote, "Yeah, I mean, that'd be nice for sure, but let's get there first. We're far away from that, so I'm not trying to think too far ahead. We've still got a tough stretch to go and a lot of important games to be played," end quote. Tony, you're up first. Even without a playoff clinch, should they use this time they have now to rest Manny here and there?
Nah, you can't. You can't. You got to, at least as he said, clinch first, and then you can maybe give him a day. But we're not there yet. And so until then, it would be like, I don't know, it'd be one of the hardest things to do to try to even ask him to come out of the lineup prior to that. I just think he would just look at you like you were stupid. Like, I'm not coming out of this,
well,
not coming out of this lineup.
He'd be right. You would be stupid.
Yeah. until it's clinched. I think he's going to grind it out, and I think he should grind it out.
Do you think that they should use the time they have now to rest him here and there?
No, absolutely not. It's low-hanging fruit right now, though, because as we discussed earlier, he is in a Manny slump right now. It has not been, great. But I caution everybody, as Tony would and did, two and a half weeks are still left, and Manny could just heat up at any moment. But and we know that, and that's why he's there, and that's why he's in the middle of this. I don't know, though, that it wouldn't be beyond Mike Shildt to ask him to at least DH a couple games. Iglesias, you don't lose much at third base. They have done that. And maybe you give him a little rest off his feet that way. But that's up to them to decide. And whatever they choose is fine, because they're going as far as Manny's going to take them. He's got to be there with a chance to take them.
I'm hanging my hat on Kevin Acey's tidbit about how he finishes the season strong. Even if he slumps at a certain point, he usually has a couple good weeks before they head into the postseason.
Hopefully that's true, but as we also talked about earlier, second half Shildt hasn't exactly played out yet this year either, so you never know how it's going to go.
You never know.
You never know.
All right. Number 4. Sports commissioners sometimes say the darndest things, don't they, guys?
Yes, they do.
We heard Rob Manfred say the World Series trophy was a piece of metal, and now we have NBA Commissioner Adam Silver, who says that you shouldn't watch their sport in long form. Here is what he had to say to the media about this topic.
There's a huge amount of our content that people can essentially consume for free. I mean, this is very much a highlights-based sport, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, you name it, any service, the New York Times for that matter, to the extent that your content is not behind a paid firewall. There's an enormous amount of content out there, YouTube, by another example, that is advertising-based that consumers can consume.
So there you go. That was what Adam Silver had to say. And
how are you drawing from that he's telling people not to watch the game?
Because the whole conversation came up when they were talking about streaming services and whether or not viewers and fans can afford all the different streaming services. And
he's trying to say that even if they can't,
we offer free content to you.
We offer, okay.
So I personally don't think this is a good look by saying you don't have to watch the long-form games. You can just go catch up on the highlights. But, Chris, do you think he will end up regretting this?
I don't. I don't. First of all, Adam Silver's smarter than all of us put together. So he has a reason for saying what he said today. And I'm going to just, go with that. This is what we are now are. He's just acknowledging what we become as a consumer of sports. And that is the fact that very few of us will sit there for 2.5 hours anymore and watch a game. And especially every single game your team is playing. I think, there are some, And for those people, there will always be the option to purchase and watch every game. But, you know, for Tony to watch the Lakers.
He gets it for free.
Well, oh, right, he still gets them. But here's the thing. I think most of us are watching bits and pieces anyway. And I think that he's just trying to tell us that that is all available. I can't imagine Adam Silver would really, push comes to shove, tell everybody to only watch highlights. But he just knows what's going on. I think he's trying to underscore that fact.
I'm going to push back a little bit. You don't think an advertiser's like, hey, our commercials aren't playing in your highlights, so shouldn't you watch us because we're paying for your league?
Well, I mean, advertising's had to change quite a bit, right?
Yes.
I mean, you now see it during highlights. You know, you go on a streaming service, you see a highlight package, there's advertising around it, before it or after it, that you have to watch. Advertisers know.
That's why they're angry too.
That's why they are advertising in those situations, because they know a lot of people are going there.
When I see the like allergy medication that's always advertised to me before highlights, I'm just so mad at it.
Yeah, you click on because YouTube has I think YouTube has those 15-minute, 12-minute NFL highlight packages are there Sunday night if you didn't see the game.
Yep.
It's a great way to watch all the highlights. You're going to have to sit through a couple of ads, though, before they start playing them.
For sure. For sure you will. Tony, do you think... what's his name? Adam Silver. I don't know why I forgot his name. Do you think he's going to end up regretting this?
What's his name? Old what's his name?
Old what's his name?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't know how we got to him telling people not to watch long form. I think he was answering a question from the media there and was pointing out, as Chris said, that we also have it in free form. I don't know that advertisers aren't dumb. I mean, they know... I don't think that's an alarming thing for an advertiser.
When you watch NBA games or NFL or baseball now, there's advertisements that pop up on the screen during play. Right?
They'll shrink the picture. But I'm watching the game.
I get it, but the advertisers know now that they have to do that to circumvent people who fast forward through commercials. So advertisers are figuring out the way to get us their message, and they understand, you know, what's happening. And I think Adam Silver's just telling us the way it is.
I just don't like Adam Silver telling me how to spend my money, and if
he's
I can't not. Afford your
he,
your
he just said it's free. He's not telling you
he
to
said
spend
we got free
money.
Stuff too.
Yeah, but
just for you.
Yeah, because. You guys aren't.
You just want to hate.
You guys are just NBA lovers. That's
no.
It.
Yes,
you're just
we
an
are,
NBA
you
hater.
Just,
that's
yeah,
all.
You just no.
Well, I actually think Adam Silver might be the best commissioner out of all four of them. Well, although I think this was a bad move.
Explain then,
because
I don't get it.
I don't get what you're upset
because
with.
You want people tuning into every one of your games. If the commissioner tells me, hey, I got these highlights that you could go through in 35 seconds. You don't even need to watch the game.
Scraby, did you even hear the actual question?
Yes, I listened to it three times earlier to make sure I wasn't.
Could you tell me what the question was?
Oh, the real question.
Yes.
I got to go get it now.
Ah, because you haven't listened to the real question yet.
No, I have to go get it.
I don't think you listened to it.
I also don't think he
That's
said...
an assumption.
I don't think anywhere in his answer... I don't know that we have time to replay his entire answer. I don't think anywhere in his answer he said... you don't need to watch our games anymore. We've got free stuff for you.
Right.
He never said that. You're just putting those words in his mouth, are you not?
Scrady
I'm just trying to figure out what you're upset about.
He felt a way because Adam Silver was telling him, hey, listen, if you don't want to go to the streaming side, we got free content for you, too. We got it. We got you covered.
Right,
every
the question
way.
Was this: he was asked about the rising cost to watch a season of NBA games as a fan of a particular team, considering all the games on either cable or streaming services.
Right. Okay. So he was just saying, yeah, well, there's that, but there's another way to watch them. There's other
I think
ways
what
you
people are more,
it.
You know, I think what people are more talking about is that he called the NBA a highlight sport.
Okay.
And. In some of the NBA
see,
fans,
I didn't take it as he was talking. Well, he did say that NBA is. I think he's saying it is the way it's played is leads to easy content on Instagram ultimately. I don't know that these coaches are out here coaching for like, hey, let's make sure we get the lob here so we can get this up on Instagram. You know, I don't think that's how it works. I just think that the game is kind of made for what Instagram and some of the platforms have, you know, become known for.
All right. Is the word acquiesce? Is that right? I acquiesce.
It's a good word. I don't know that it applies here.
I don't know what it is.
I thought acquiesce means like, all right, fine, I withdraw myself from the conversation.
Let's look at that drawing.
The Baltimore Orioles will have a different-looking front office in 2026, following one of the most disappointing seasons in a while for them. They aren't making any moves to fire. They are actually adding to the mix. The Orioles intend to hire a new general manager in an effort to expand their front office under former GM Mike Elias, who was, quote-unquote, quietly promoted last offseason to president of baseball operations.
Quietly promoted.
According to The Athletic. That was from The Athletic. Tony, you're up first. Can you succeed as a president of baseball ops if you couldn't as a GM?
I mean, let's be real. It's the same position, just a different name. I mean, is Mike Elias not going to be the visionary person for where this organization goes?
And I would assume so, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's exactly what's going to happen, right? I mean, I think that I did a – actually, it's ironic that you brought this up. I did a hit with the Baltimore Raiders, and this is something that's kind of bothering people in terms of the quietness in which they promoted Mike Elias and are now searching for a new GM to come up underneath them. It just is – it's coming off very fishy out in – in the Baltimore area. That being said, it's not like it's my man Friedman, who was a GM and then was promoted to after they won, has been for time.
Yeah,
Baltimore's kind of gone the opposite way, at least the last couple of years, and nonetheless, he got a promotion. So I don't know. I think this is kind of a wait and see in terms of the answer to your question. Where's the proof that you're going to do better in that particular spot than where you were already?
I don't think
if it's a promotion.
I guess they're calling it a quiet promotion. So
quiet promotion, yeah. Chris, my favorite kind of promotion.
Yeah, the one where you're like, don't look over here. We're promoting him. Can you succeed as president of baseball ops if you couldn't be a GM or if you didn't succeed as GM? And I think he kind of succeeded as GM because he made them relevant.
I don't know.
Again.
Baltimore was pretty good there for a couple years. Yes. I mean, that's what promotions are. In most cases, you do a job for a while. Somebody likes what you're doing somewhere, put you in a job you've never had before, and you have to figure that out. Right?
Yeah.
No matter what position, if you're CEO, you didn't get born CEO.
Well, some did.
That's true.
Some did. So. Some got born CEO.
Okay.
That's true.
Here we go with the nepotism people.
No, who just relinquished their command of their empire? Was it Rupert Murdoch? Just gave it to one of his grandkids or kids or something like that? So that kid was born a CEO.
Okay.
Number two.
It's a weird day, guys. It's a weird day. The Broncos are possibly moving down the street in Denver. And the Bears, they have actually made a decision they are going to move out of Chicago. Chicago Bears president and CEO Kevin Warren reiterated in a letter to fans the day of the home opener that the team is dedicated to building a new stadium in Arlington Heights. He said, "The Chicago Bears belong more than just Chicago. We belong to the entire state of Illinois. We're at a pivotal juncture of the Chicago Bears franchise to build a new stadium, our future home in Arlington Heights, which will require zero state money for construction. This is the year to finalize our stadium plan so we can officially bid to host a Super Bowl as soon as 2031. This is the moment to begin moving toward that future, and we want you with us," end quote. I looked it up, and from downtown Chicago to Arlington Heights, it's a 25-mile drive, but the drive time, when I looked it up earlier, was 1 hour 15 minutes. So it's not like the easiest trek out there. It's not easy at all. Chris, you're up first here. Would you be sad to see the Bears move out of downtown Chicago?
How far is it from New York City to where the Jets and Giants
play? I will find that out.
How far is it in Los Angeles, from Los Angeles to where the Rams and Chargers play? I think the Dolphins play in Miami Gardens. I don't believe it's in Miami. I don't think any team plays in the city limits anymore. Maybe a few. So I don't think you have any complaint if you're a Bears fan. If they're going to privately finance this stadium and you don't have to donate to it, You know, stop complaining, number one. Number two, really stop complaining when you know darn well you're going to take the time to drive down to the game.
They can
play Chicago Bear games in Louisiana, and some Bear fans would come down each Sunday to see the games. You know it. I know it. It's the NFL. They can do what they want. So stop whining about it. They're giving you a privately financed, not you whining, them whining.
Like, geez, I wasn't whining
No, you
at
said
all.
People in Chicago are upset that they're moving out of the city
limits.
Why? Everybody else is out of
because
the city. Who is in the city limits anymore?
Minnesota.
I don't know. Have you been there? Have you been to Minneapolis?
Minneapolis is definitely in the city limits.
All right, so you got one.
Denver's right there next to their
downtown.
I can
tell you the 49ers aren't.
Yeah, that's why I think it hits a little close to home, because the 49ers moved like 35 miles away from San Francisco.
And does it really hurt the franchise?
Yeah, you see what they're doing?
Get out of here!
You see what they're doing right now?
When is the last time they had an empty seat?
When they have a home game.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Right.
All right, I don't even know. Tony,
is it my turn?
Would you be sad to see the Bears move out of Chicago?
If I lived in Chicago, this is a local argument.
It is
right?
a local
it's,
issue.
It's like the Braves, right? When you go to Atlanta and you go there, the locals complain about the new stadium being so far away from the city of Atlanta.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's a nice little distance. That's
okay.
a nice little distance
right.
from where the old one was.
Okay.
They put it more out in the suburb. But then on the flip side of that, there's always the argument. Scraby, I've argued on both sides of this, by the way. The folks that are like, you should pay for your own stadium.
Yeah.
You shouldn't get our, you shouldn't, we shouldn't have to fund this stadium. All right, well, sounds like you're not going to have to fund any money for this stadium. This is now the second owner that we've talked about, the last 3 days?
Two days, is
funding their own stadium, which is what everybody wanted. You know, the problem when you do stuff in the actual city, it's, you know, they can't control the land most of the time or a lot of the time, or you got to buy them. It just becomes more complicated, it seems like. And so, you know, I was earlier this year, I think this was kind of up for debate, because when we were in Chicago at the beginning of the year, I think I was reading something about them still kind of looking into, you know, the stadium down near where it's at.
Yeah.
Didn't work out. And I'm sure people at the end are happy they don't have to pay for it. They are going to complain that it's an hour and 15-minute drive. But, you know, it's better to keep the money. Maybe they're going to use the money they would have been paying in taxes to maybe go to these games now.
I do agree with you. If they are privately funding the stadium, they can put it wherever the heck they want.
I'm pretty sure if Spanos and company would have privately financed the stadium in Chula Vista, we would have all happily gone down to Charger games.
Yeah, we would have 100% complained about the having to go down to Chula Vista, but we would have certainly gotten our cars and rolled down there.
I think so.
Number one.
He's upset because we're not agreeing with him 100% yet today. You got one more question, though. Maybe this
Here we
will
go.
Be the, maybe this will be the hit.
I don't think it will be.
I don't think it'll be.
To be honest, if you're watching the YouTube feed, just search 97.3 The Fan on YouTube. You can see me just rubbing my eyes.
He's getting frustrated.
It's been so tough today. The round table was tough.
Yeah.
This is tough.
Yeah. Coming after you.
Yeah. Number one, we had 1 week of red zone so far. I'm not sure how much Tony got to see red zone on Sunday.
I haven't been able to enjoy red zone yet this season.
Okay, well, good, because there's only been 1 week, so you've only missed one. But red zone now has commercials, as we talked about last week. So, Chris, you're up first here since Tony hasn't seen it. How did we feel about the red zone commercials last Sunday?
I really hardly noticed them.
I gotta be honest with you.
I hardly noticed them. They were 15 seconds long. They always did it when there was a break in action. So
they picked the right spot.
Right. There was no, you know, they certainly didn't do it during the witching hour that they call it, you know, where
I
every
love
game
the witching
being,
hour.
Yeah, where the game's
where losses become wins and wins become losses.
They call it the witching hour?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
It's the noon hour. It's like the fourth quarter of the morning game hour.
Fourth quarter of the morning games. That's when all the crazy stuff happens.
When did
Tony?
That start?
Years ago.
A year or two ago, maybe. You just haven't seen the witching hour.
I've never heard him say, when wins become losses and losses become wins.
Unless it's the Dolphins game, because
I might have caught that part, but I didn't hear the witching part.
You got to go.
Oh, they have a whole like graphic for it. Yeah, it says the witching hour with a clock and everything.
Yeah, we get you, I'm probably looking right at the screen and just like,
yeah,
we're going to
get you up to speed. So that means that Tony wouldn't have noticed the commercials either.
100%.
If he didn't see the witching hour, he wouldn't have seen the commercials.
Although I don't need Wingstop commercials in the middle of my
100,000% agree. And you know, I know, we all know this is the beginning of more and more. So for now,
right.
We'll,
15
you know,
seconds now, yeah. 3 minutes in a couple of years.
Yeah.
I will say, I will be on my couch on Sunday watching Red Zone.
We'll be watching
again.
It, though, every time.
Oh, yeah, don't even tell Nick Wright. We're bad football fans because we watch Red Zone. That really bothered me. I think you're a better...
Hold up. I just want to point this out. The irony of you just saying that. We just finished talking about the NBA, and here you are watching basically the TV version of Instagram.
Highlights. But I'm getting context. I'm dipping into different broadcasts for big moments.
You're not seeing any advertisement except for the 15-second thing.
You are getting the ball in the red zone. That is basically what you're searching for. Cut the game down.
I'm going to call in sick for work the rest of today.
I'm pretty sure you went 0 for 5 there today, Scrape.
Let's move on. The Rockies are in town. Do we feel any better? Chris and I will talk about it when we get back here on 97.3 The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.